Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Danny Pellegrino. Welcome to Everything Iconic. I'm here with a true icon queen legend. I'm so excited you're here. Jennifer Love Hewitt, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am such a huge fan, and I'm so thankful for Sean. I'm nervous.
I don't.
This sounds crazy, but I hope it doesn't freak you out. I had your poster. I know what you did last summer, and I still know what you did last summer. Posters in my room growing up.
Did you?
Totally confused my parents. They thought I just had a big crush on you. Turns out it was Ryan Phillippe.
Oh my God.
Literally in my room, I was obsessed with those movies, which is odd because now I don't really love the horror movies too much.
I don't either.
Those movies were amazing.
They were really fun to do.
They were good. Did you hear about the reboot?
I did.
Blumhouse wants to do a new one.
Like a new one?
Like a new one. It's the same production company that did the new Halloween with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Right.
So would you do it?
Oh my gosh, in a second.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to, but now I'm like 40, so I think I'd have to play like the creepy old lady in the cafe.
No, you could be the lead.
Don't trust the fisherman, you know? Like something weird.
I think Jamie Lee did the lead. Like, we need you as the lead of it.
Oh, I would do it in a second. Yeah.
Was there a third one ever planned? I know there was like a direct to DVD, but did you guys ever talk about doing one with you and Freddie Prinze, Brandy?
No, they didn't, which I found really surprising. I saw parts of the one that went to DVD. It was interesting.
Terrible.
They didn't ever come with a third one. I would love to do a reboot of that movie. I thought it was really fun and really cute. And
You guys all get along?
Yeah. I mean, it was, for me, it was a really crazy experience because I actually auditioned for Sarah's part initially. And I was 18. It was the first time that I could like work adult hours. And then I ended up getting the Julie James part. And I just had, I had never worked that hard. Like it was crazy. But we had a good time. Like we were in, North Carolina and, you know, we were young and it was just, I don't know. It was just, it was
time.
A great time. It was just a great time in general, I think.
Did you have a crush on the boys? 'Cause like I sure did.
Yeah, I for sure. I mean, I adored Freddie beyond. He was just the sweetest. And Ryan was just like, yeah, he was just enough of like a super sweetheart, but had a little bit of like a bad boy thing. And I was
edge.
Like, oh, he's dreamy. But, you know, I was young. I was young and I had so much to do to not screw up that movie.
You're the lead, yeah.
That I was like very concentrated on that at the time. But I just remember like, the thing that I always remember about I Know What You Did Last Summer, and I still know, was I Know What You Did was the same time that Bop was on the radio. And I was like, oh my God, I am, you know, there's Freddie Prinze Jr., Sarah Michelle Gellar, and Bop is on the radio. Like, it was a good time. It was just a good time, you know?
Yeah. You know, I watched the second one over the weekend, and I feel like it must have been miserable to film that one because you guys are always wet.
It was
the whole movie.
It was miserable. It was crazy. We also were in Mexico and they have these bugs that were only like mating in the season when we were there, and they pee acid on your skin. So they like fall on you from the trees and pee acid on your skin. So we had that happening, which was terrible. I really passed out in the tanning bed during that scene because it was 100 degrees inside the room and 100 degrees inside the tanning bed because they lit it with real lights instead of fake tan lights. So I really passed out. It was raining the whole time. Yeah, it was crazy.
Right.
It was
I
wild.
Love that. I feel like you and Brandy have such great chemistry in that. I mean,
we
you and
had
Freddie,
fun.
Like you two, the chemistry is unreal between you two.
We had fun. And you know what? I was such a Brandy fan. Again, like another iconic, like musical connection to that movie for me is I was like, oh my God, I'm working with Brandy. And I loved all of her songs. And she was, it was really fun.
I've always loved Brandy. And I mean, I've loved her since Cinderella when she did the made for TV. And it's like, I always wanted that. Now, Jennifer Love Hewitt, you have a new wine out.
I do.
Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Yes. So I have a Chardonnay and a Roussan. It's called JLH Wines. So real simple for people to remember. My husband and I made it, and it became one of our very first dates was to go to Los Alamos, which is this very quaint, beautiful little place. And his friends are winemakers. And so we went there and we just kind of fell in love with that process. And I had never seen people like bottle wine before or press the grape, you know, other than like Lucille Ball, which I love doing. And I did get to do for this. Oh, I actually got in the vats and I got to like stop, and it was amazing. So we decided that we wanted to do this as like a passion project. And then my daughter was goofing around one day and she was like, I'm going to draw the label.
It's so cute.
And then she ended up actually drawing it. And now she tells everybody that it's her wine. and it's out now. It's available at the Honor Wine and Spirits in Beverly Hills. And it's going to be available at Wally's. And then you can do it. Hold on. I'm going to tell you right now so I don't mess it up. It's at the Wine House. And you can get it in store or online. I'm a big wine fan.
I am too. And I truly can't think of anything better than like putting on one of your movies, grabbing a group of friends, like watching Can't Hardly Wait. I know what you did last summer with a bottle of your wine.
Yes.
Cannot think of anything better.
Will you do it and send me pictures?
100%.
And then at me on the gram, because that's what cool people
What's
do.
What's your at? It's at Jennifer Love Hewitt, right?
Yeah.
Now,
again, real easy.
It's easy. Yeah, good.
I hope my dog is not peeing.
No, you brought a puppy here.
If she
for
does,
listeners.
I'm going to buy you new rugs.
No, you're not doing anything. Okay. This is literally a dream come true. You walked in with a puppy. I was like, what life am I living? Jennifer Love Hewitt walked in with a puppy. Anyway, I want to get a little serious for a second. So, May, when we're recording this, is Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yes.
And in my research, I saw that you had a lot of life changes all at once.
I did. Yeah.
Your mom passed, you fell in love, you had children, and you took some time off for yourself. Mm-hmm. What did you learn about your own mental health during that hiatus from work or during that time where your life was changing so much?
Interesting. I think I learned that I had not spent enough time on my mental health in that period. I got very, you know, I could never say anything bad about my life in the business or my life in general because I have lived a very awesome existence. And I feel like people would just hate me for saying that. So I won't say that, but I will say that I started working when I was 10. And up until having my children, I had maybe had 2 months off my whole life. And that's just not enough time. As an actress, I really feel like I've come back now with just more experiences and parts of myself to kind of tap into that I didn't have before. So I do feel like it's helped me, in that aspect. But yeah, I didn't realize that like all that time that I was running around that I was actually having anxiety attacks and, you know, unable to sort of like process stress in a healthy way. I spent a lot of time hungry because I was on the cover of Maxim magazines and that's what you do, you know? And I didn't realize like, oh, it's okay to gain 10 pounds or 5 pounds or 15 or 50 with my children. That was harder, but you know, like I just didn't know how to, give myself a break. Mm-hmm. Like I just didn't know that.
And you were always put into that sexual box.
Always.
You were always on the Maxim covers.
With no choice.
Yeah.
In it whatsoever. And that I think was my biggest like realization kind of in my late 30s, now 40s, is that people made me a sex symbol, but I didn't feel like a sex symbol. I didn't even know what being a sex symbol was. I was like 15 years old, you know? And because of what I look like physically, sort of people made me that thing. And although it was very complimentary at the time and certainly fun when I was dating, you know, it was an awesome thing to have. It wasn't genuinely who I was. And so I think I felt very conflicted a lot of the time and I didn't know why. And it was just because it wasn't authentic.
So what do you do now to take care of your mental health? Do you exercise? Do you journal?
I do all of that. I mean, my kids are amazing for your mental health. I mean, they're crazy as all get out, as my grandma would say. And they keep you very busy and, you know, sort of, I think you want to be a better person because you want them to see you as the best version of yourself possible, although flawed, you know, the best version of you that you can be so that they have, you know, good role models and everything. But, I definitely work out. I've been boxing the last year and a half, which has been really amazing. And I just started weight training with that, like, a couple of months ago. So that's been really fun. And I just take space for myself. I also just tried CBD oil.
Oh yeah, it's great.
which was amazing. Like a month ago, I've never tried any drugs or anything like that, but I did do the CBD oil, and I felt very scandalous. I was like, oh my God, am I high? And I kept asking my friend. She was like, no, you're nuts. You're not high. But it was amazing. Like now sometimes when I have like bad anxiety moments or whatever, I find that really helpful. And it's been really interesting to learn about
that's
that.
That's funny you mentioned that. I read a story about on the set of Can't Hardly Wait, where Melissa Joan Hart had like B12 or something. Yes. And she said that you thought it was drugs or something and it was just vitamins.
I did. I did a movie in Budapest for like, it was a TV movie. And somebody was passing around E. And I was like very,
E the drug.
Yes, but I thought it was E vitamins, like for your skin that you like break open and they smell like fish and it's terrible. And whatever. So I was like, oh my gosh, E. I was like, you guys have to be very careful because it can break out your face and it can do this thing. And they were like, what are you talking about? And I didn't know that they were. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, can you talk about Can't Hardly Wait? That's one of my favorite movies too. I mean, all of your movies.
Yes, thank you.
But what stands out as a memory from that?
Can't Hardly Wait was crazy. So I was filming Party of Five at the same time as doing that movie. I know, it's crazy. So I was doing both of them at the same time. Again, probably another moment that had I been a little bit older, I would have checked in on my mental health. Been like, how you feeling? Have you eaten? Are you okay? Have you slept? But it was great. I mean, again, it was like I got to do so many amazing things as a teenager with like iconic teenagers and sort of be in these great situations as a kid that I just felt really lucky. And Can't Hardly Wait felt special to me because I loved like 16 Candles, Pretty in Pink, all of that stuff. And it felt like that kind of movie.
Wasn't it supposed to be like a hard R? Like
it's a PG-13, but I think so.
Yeah, I had read it was supposed to be really much darker, and they had to like CGI bongs out of it or something. Yeah. But it's still such a classic movie.
It's such a classic movie, and it's really interesting. Somebody was asking me the other day about Amanda, and how like forward thinking she was for that time. Like she now makes total sense, but in that movie, like as a pretty girl who could have anybody in school, like not wanting to be treated badly by her boyfriend, not wanting to be talked down to, holding herself, you know, up in a high place, and not just kind of going for like the easy, teen sex in the movie or the hot guy, you know, is really special for that time. So, and I hadn't thought of it that way. And I went back and looked at it and I was like, oh, that's wild. But it's so funny how many people like right around Halloween are always like, me and my friends, we're all going as the cast of Can't Hardly Wait.
Well, yeah, I mean, I remember
really
your
for Halloween.
Yeah. Like those are good costumes. Yeah. So Seth Green, his outfits in that. Ethan, I read, speaking of drugs, that he was high the whole, did you know that Ethan Embry, he had said in an interview recently, like a retrospective, he was like stoned the whole movie.
I did not know that.
I love it so much. I think it's, just
I mean, I thought
B12
was a drug, so, you know.
Would you?
I'm not really a good judge.
Would you do a sequel to that, like a 10-year reunion
I'm
or something?
I'm dying to. So I really, really, really want to, and I want to direct it.
Oh, my God, please do
it. Yeah, so I'm really trying. I have two things I want to accomplish this year. I really want to do a reunion Can't Hardly Wait movie that I direct, and I really want to make Heartbreakers a TV series.
Jennifer Love Hewitt. My God. I was going to bring up Heartbreakers.
I really want to do it.
You have to do it.
Wouldn't it be a great show?
100%.
I think it would be amazing.
I was just saying online the other day with Heartbreakers, because I rewatched that recently, and it's my favorite genre of movie. I just want to see women being conning men. Like, it's truly
And I want Jamie Lee Curtis to be in it. Because I love her. So we did that movie House Arrest like when I was 14 together.
Yeah, you did House Arrest in Sugar Falls, Ohio, which is right where I'm from. I'm from Solon, Ohio, which is like
town
next door. Yeah. And I remember when you guys were filming it, everyone was there was this girl who was like an extra in it that I knew, and she would she came to high school. She's like, I just did this big movie with Jennifer Love Hewitt. And like, then I remember it came out and you just see her bicycle across the screen. Like, she didn't even have any lines. She was just like bragging about it for years. It was like a year or something. She was bragging about this role.
There's no small parts.
So that's true. Only small actors. Wait, so if you did Heartbreakers, would it be you and Jamie Lee Curtis, or what would it be?
No, I think I would just want to executive produce it and find like some great, you know.
I am like so excited about this.
Wouldn't that be so fun? I'm going to really try to do it.
And Can't Hardly Wait, would you try to get the whole original cast, right?
Yeah. I would try to get as many people as possible.
Yeah, except Melissa Joan Hart, right?
No, I no, she has to be in it.
Have you ever had a co-star that you really hated? You don't have to say who, but like someone that you got to set and you're like, oh, what a dick.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyone you want to say?
No.
I always got the impression, and maybe this is totally wrong, but especially because I was watching all of these interviews yesterday, I was like just geared down and like doing research on you, which sounds crazy. But
I'm so sorry. That's a whole day of your life. You'll never get back.
I like literally, it was like an hour or two where I was just watching you on Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh my God. I loved
her. I loved her.
I mean, I loved her.
You guys did like a carpool karaoke before there was carpool karaoke. It was like a whole, it's on YouTube.
It's hysterical.
What was I going to say? I don't know. I blacked out. oh, okay. Let's talk about 911. So you're on with Ryan Murphy.
Yeah.
This wonderful show.
Yes.
What made you want to come back and do that show?
When Ryan Murphy calls and says, you know, do you want to be a part of something? You don't really think about it because you're afraid that he's going to move on to someone else. So that was amazing. I mean, I'm a Ryan Murphy fan. I'm also obsessed with Peter Krause and Angela Bassett. So I was like, okay, check. And it just felt like the right time. I was also on Fox with Party of Five. So to like be able to go back there and do that again, it just all kind of felt right. I was very scared to go back to work because I had been off for a while. I was not in like actress shape when they called. I think I even had like kid poop stains on my t-shirt when they called me. And I was in the middle of like eating my third box of mac and cheese for the week with my kids. You know what I mean? And like, you want to be on TV? I'm like,
let's do it.
Great. How much time do I have? So I was very nervous. Oh, but it's worked out. Oh, Maddie, no. But it's worked out well.
Truly, it's like the best.
It's worked out well.
What other, do you watch other Ryan Murphy stuff? Did you watch like Pose or Feud? Was it Feud?
Yeah. Loved Feud. I'm a big Glee fan. I'll always be a Glee head. So so that was awesome. And I actually knew him back in the day as a writer before he did any of his shows. He had this amazing script, which I am begging him to make again, called Why Can't I Be Audrey Hepburn? And it was such a good rom-com. Yeah. And I was attached to play this part. And we like took it around the studio system or whatever. And then nothing ever happened with it. But that's when I first knew him. So it was really funny.
You mentioned Party of Five.
Yep.
Is it weird that they're rebooting all of the stuff that you did? Because they're rebooting Party of Five.
Well, what's weird is that they're rebooting it all. No one's asking me to be a part of any of it. So you start to go, oh, well, maybe I wasn't as good in that as I thought I was. it's slightly offensive. But I'm also 40. Like I said, like in actress years, I'm 125 years old and I'm like a full character actor now.
That's disgusting, isn't it?
It is, but whatever.
Thank God for Ryan Murphy because we need, he's so good at with roles for women over a certain age.
He's
one of the only people doing it. And like, I personally feel like I've always been attracted to female roles on screen.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's all I want to watch. I don't want to watch straight men. I've seen enough movies about straight white men. It's like, enough is enough.
Yeah, I agree.
Did you see the trailer for the new Party of Five?
I did not.
It looks like legit really good.
Like, I know. I saw the picture of the cast and I was like, wow, they like fully just redid the exact photograph from the 90s.
The parents don't die. They are deported. It looks very topical and wonderful.
I think it looks really good. I mean, I love that show. I'll watch.
What happened?
Are they calling it Party of Five?
Yeah. It's like the same logo. The trailer just came out and I watched it and it's like the same logo you guys had.
Fiesta de Cinco.
Yeah.
Oh, I used to have to do interstitials where I would say Fiesta de Cinco.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I was like, oh. Okay.
What? You did the spinoff with Jennifer Garner. We love Jennifer Garner. What? I watched it too.
And
what
Pauly happened there? Pauly Perret was Pauly in that Perret. Show.
What happened? Why didn't it? What do you think happened?
I think Sarah was Sarah and Bailey. And I think that even though Sarah had her own following, it was hard because Scott was still doing Party of Five. And for whatever reason, they could never figure out like how to get him to, I think if he had crossed over in our first like season, it would have been different. I also think like, I also just really believe that Jennifer Garner was meant to go be an Alias and Pauly was meant to go be on NCIS. And Jonathan Scheck was meant to go be a movie. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like we all had this great opportunity and we had a lot of fun, but we were meant to be other places.
Yeah.
You know,
I watched every episode. Were you happy when it ended? Because it was a little bit of relief. You're not carrying a show anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I loved it. And I felt really like I was supposed to be on Party of Five for 9 episodes. That was my contract. And the fact that it you know, grew and I was able to be on there for 5 years and then spin off into my own thing. And it got me a production deal at Sony. So I could start producing and, you know, all of that stuff. There was lots to be grateful for.
You and Bailey was so iconic. I mean, come on.
I know. Scott.
I'm reading the new Howard Stern book. It's all his interviews throughout the years. And it's really interesting just as an interviewer to see. And one of the things he says, everyone just wants to be heard. Everyone has something to say. Mm-hmm. I wondered, what do you want to say or what do you, at the end of your life, what do you hope people take away from you in terms of your career?
Joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just joy. Cause that's what you're supposed to do as an entertainer, right? Like I would love for my story. I mean, this gets very depressing cause I feel like, something that I don't know, like they're going to come and take my SAG card tomorrow. But I would hope that I would have brought joy, really good memories, like you're talking about. You know, I feel like I've been a part of some iconic things, which are special and cool and a part of like people's, you know, fabric of growing up and memories and things like that. But also that like, I feel like my reputation has stayed just nice, which is important to me. I've worked really hard for that. Mm-hmm. Not that it's hard to be a nice person, but I just have tried really hard, even on long days, to, you know, remember that people only remember who they meet that day. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And like try to never let my own stuff get in the way of like who somebody might run into at the mall or meet or, you know, whatever. I'll defend my children and, you know, paparazzi sometimes can get on your nerves and things like that. But I would just love for people to always be like, you know what? She was a nice person with very little drama who worked really hard and gave us lots of joy.
How have you been able to always be so nice? I feel like every time we've ever seen you in an interview or anything, you're always seeming so kind and you've never got in trouble like the other girls from your era.
My mom was huge in always being with me. Yeah. You know what I mean? And always being with me as a reminder of, you know, keep it together. Like it's a gift, but it can go. And I do remember distinctly, and I don't know why I thought of it that way, but I remember like in the first week of coming to LA, my mom was like, so what do you think, you know, about this job that you have? Like you're young and you have like, how does it feel? And I was like, it feels like a really awesome toy. And if I damage it, I don't get to get another one. Right. And that's just like, that's just how I look at it. And so I've always had a lot of respect for the fact that in my opinion, there are 75,000 other Jennifer Love Hewitts sitting in the world.
There's who, not, but.
But there are, you know, who want people, the opportunity, who are maybe even prettier, who knows, much more talented, have the it, have the, you know, whatever, would love to work hard, that don't get the opportunity. And right. I got it. And so to like shit on it would be so bad. Like it would just be so disrespectful. And so I always try to remember that even in taking a break from it, I tried to remain grateful for all the time that I had and be honest about like, if I came back, how grateful I would just have to be and how much respect I would have to have for it.
I feel like with all of these iconic roles, you've also had the opportunity to show different sides of yourself because you have done the sexy thing. Mm-hmm. But then even with I Know What You Did Last Summer, you weren't the sex. I mean, the first one, they had you in these dowdy sort of clothes. Yeah. By the way, how many gay men come up to you and yell, what are you waiting for?
Oh my God. All the time. All the time.
I mean, what an iconic
I'm on now. Cameo. Do you know what Cameo is? That
I'm on
app?
There too. Yeah.
I love it, by the way. It's the one thing that I get asked to do the most on Cameos. People just want me to say, what are you waiting for? You know how that's in the movie, right?
I read a story, but tell if people don't know.
So randomly, there was a kid who won a chance to come on the set and he got to direct one moment of the movie. And so he got there that day and I think the line was in the script, but it wasn't necessarily like the way that it happened in that scene. And his vision was for the camera go up above me and to have me spin around in the middle of the street with all that cleavage, screaming, what are you, waiting for, huh? Yeah. And he just wanted me to do it. And I remember thinking on the day, oh dear God, this is the moment where it all ends. This is where they fully take my SAG card and people go, nope, sweetie, you don't have it. Goodbye.
Get out of here.
Felt so weird. And then it became this thing. You just never know.
And they even tried to recreate it in the sequel. There's I forget. But you guys are at the graveyard. I just watched it.
Yeah.
Really, I always, I mentioned the research before, and this is what I was getting at. I felt like in my research, you and Sarah Michelle Gellar didn't get along, but that's not true.
No, no. I just think that we were just both two girls. And so typical right. to what they do with women, they try to like pit you against each other. But no, she was, I think she's older than me. A little bit. I think, or maybe she was just more sophisticated than us. You know what? We could be the same age. I don't know.
Who's to tell?
But no, but she just like had her part in the movie and I had my part in the movie. And again, like I didn't, if I could go back and do the movies again, I would have hung out more and had more fun like off camera. But I was so nervous and like in focus of all of the emotions that Julie had to go through. And then, you know, just not messing up like the yeah. lead of your first movie when you're 18 years old. I mean, it's really scary. And I was very scared of horror movies in general. And so part of the reason I did the movie was to like make myself feel brave. So I was really freaked out the whole time. Like there's nothing worse than pretend running from somebody who's going to murder you and then having to go back to like your weird hotel room in North Carolina and try to sleep. Right. You're like, and you're in a real fishing village. So I was like, who's to say that a real fisherman
he's gonna
isn't
going to
come and get me? I mean, I never ate fish sticks again after that. Like it was terrible. So I was going through my own thing. So I did hang out with everybody, but it wasn't like we weren't like we're the best friends ever. You know, we had a great time. Everyone was lovely. I adore Sarah. Now Sarah is a huge part of my life because of her Food Stirs thing with my kids.
Oh yeah, she has
we're
a new company.
Constantly
amazing.
Doing it, and I haven't seen her in a really long time, and hope to one day. But
and the point is, the four of you aged beautifully.
Like that's
the
so
four
nice.
Of you, I've never seen four people age better than the four. I mean, you all still look like you're 18. I saw Ryan Phillippe in person recently, and he like still looks 19.
I know. Everybody really does look amazing.
Yeah. Now let's see, where are we? Oh, I want to talk about Sister Act 2. Another favorite.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
Come on, all of these
Love
movies.
It.
Did you record vocals for Sister Act 2? Like when you guys did those group songs.
Yes.
Did everyone record, or was it like a, how did that work?
No, everybody did. We recorded. Okay. I mean, everybody was really singing, but.
Right.
But yeah, we do.
What was Whoopi Goldberg like? I love her. I mean, come on.
She was amazing.
Yeah.
She was amazing. And we stayed in contact for a long time. After that, this is my best story though.
Please.
Okay. So you're working with Whoopi Goldberg and I'm from Texas and very new to things. I was, I think 15 years old when we did that movie, 14 or 15. And everyone else is like super cool, a little bit older than me, whatever. So she has a pool party at her house.
Whoopi does.
And it's like fancy pants, but I thought pool party, like a Waco, Texas pool party. Like, of course. So I bring my own towel and I had a Spuds McKenzie towel. I mean, nostalgia. Anyway, so I had a Spuds McKenzie towel and my little bathing suit. And I go, and in Texas or anywhere really, like when you're a kid, when you're growing up, you have to take something. So I took a Pizza Hut Bigfoot pizza. Like half pepperoni, half cheese, because I know how to do it. And I walk into Whoopi's house and there was a chef.
And here you are
a
with
chef
this pizza
cooking
and a towel.
For people, and they had like people to like give you towels.
Was anyone else there? Like any other famous people that
everyone the cast was there, and it was like I literally walked in. I was like, oh my God! And you know what Whoopi did? She came over. She got a piece of pizza. She sat down. She was like, I love a Bigfoot pizza. Thank you so much for bringing this. And she was so nice. And she was like, oh, Spencer, because and she just like made me feel.
Yeah, she made you feel comfortable.
Not like the incredible nerd that I was showing up at her house like that. She was so welcoming and so kind, and I just loved her.
I remember my brothers and I used to sit on our ledge of our old house, and we watched that Joyful, the end scene.
Yes.
Like, we rented the movie and watched it over and over again. We were obsessed with it. I mean, it was so good. Will you show your kids? What movies of yours will you show your kids? Have you shown them, like, Garfield?
They saw Garfield. Yeah.
What they think? I saw that in theaters, too. Come on.
I know. They liked it. They didn't really say anything. My son was kind of like, he like turned his head and he looked like, and then he looked at me and then he looked back again. And then my daughter, when it was over, she was like, good job, mommy. Can I get some milk? And I'm like, yeah, that was kind of it. I would definitely show them Sister Act. I would show them Sister Act 2 for sure.
Yeah.
And I know what you did last summer. I think they have to watch like when they're teenagers, just because by then it'll be real classic.
Right.
Yeah.
I was reading, speaking of that Howard Stern book, that his interview with Bill Murray was in there. And Bill Murray on Howard Stern said, he didn't know what he was signing up for with Garfield. Yeah, like,
I think he said it was like his worst job ever or something.
Did you ever see him? I mean, because he just went in and recorded. So you guys never saw it. Did you see each other in like press junk?
No, I like met him randomly another time somewhere. But yeah, no. I just remember reading that and going, oh, dear God, he did not enjoy this movie.
Well, he must have enjoyed it a little because he did the sequel.
But Brecken and I had fun. It was really, and I knew Brecken from doing Birds of Paradise, this TV show like 100 years ago with Seth Green, which is where I first met him. And they were best friends. It's just really funny. Then Brecken was in Can't Hardly Wait.
Yeah. Whole class of people, everyone was in Can't Hardly Wait.
I know.
It's like so many wonderful cameos and stuff. But let's talk about Heartbreakers. Okay. This is one of my favorite movies. Now, you're going to remake it. And you're going to hire me as a writer.
Yes, I'll let you know.
So there were so many people rumored for roles in this movie.
Yeah.
Did you ever possibly do it with somebody else, or was it always you and Sigourney? Because I had read on IMDb, it was like, at some points it was Jennifer Aniston and somebody else, and then Whitney Houston and somebody else. Like,
I know it was Cameron Diaz and someone at some point as well. No, for me, it was always just me and Sigourney.
Yeah.
By the time that I came into it.
I mean, it's so, so good.
It was so, a great movie to make.
Think so many gay men and women still, I mean, it really became sort of a cult classic amongst women and gay men. Why do you think it has, I don't know, stayed the course? Is that a phrase?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just think it was, there was a little something for everyone in it, because it kind of had the romance, it had the sort of, you know, it had the con artist thing in it, so it was action packed. I think it had, you know, Ray Liotta is classic. Yeah. Love him so much. And then, you know, Sigourney, just sort of like the mom and daughter. I mean, we got to look amazing in that movie.
Was it a pain in the ass to get in shape for that?
At that time, that was just fine for me. It was easy. Now, Jesus Christ, there's not enough Spanx in the world.
Because you guys are all in like the tightest outfits.
Oh, yeah. No, it was crazy. It was crazy. I think that was a period of time where probably I was hungry, a little bit hungry.
I was
a little hungry, but I look great. But it was, I just remember it being like so amazing and just looking around at these people going, oh my God, like, why am I in this movie? It was just amazing.
You were amazing in it though.
It was really fun.
You were amazing in it. Now, what about The Client List? I also love this movie and the TV show, and I was so devastated when it got canceled.
I know.
What, you did a lot of singing in The Client List. Was that your idea, or were producers like, hey, can we get you to sing these covers?
No, it was. So I executive produced the movie and we bought the property and we made it, and for whatever reason, they got the Golden Globe nomination for that movie. And it was
amazing.
Like, how is this happening?
Prostitute with the Heart of Gold.
Yeah, not a lot of material this year, apparently, but happy to be here. And so we did that. So that like two days later.
Because I was like watching. I'm like, give her the Emmy.
So 2 days later, we went in and pitched the series. And in kind of doing the series, we were like, it was sort of like The Client List and then my love letter to being a girl from Texas, my mom being a beauty queen in real life. My mom was Miss Texas in the Miss America pageant in 1963.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
So she was a big beauty queen girl, and me growing up singing and all that stuff. And so that show really became sort of my opportunity to, you know, put all the things that I really loved to do that felt authentic in Texas to me in this girl, and sort of, you know, have that. And I loved that. I mean, I obviously met my husband on that show. But I just loved it.
You had so many hot guys on there. You were always giving a hot guy a massage.
I know.
The dream.
So one of my best friends is Jenny. She has a very amazing job, but it's a very, like, meetings. Like, that's what she does.
Job.
Yeah. And so our favorite thing to do is her like call me in the middle of the day and be like, so what have you done today? And I was like, well, I've given 6 really hot guys massages. What have you done? She was like, 2 presentations and I'm on my way to lunch. Or I would just film, like I would get their permission, obviously, but I would just like film a rehearsal and just send it to her. And she would die. She was like, how is that your job?
Like, even the ugly men on there that you were massaging were still hotter than most. It was like, but they were mostly hot guys.
And you know what? I was really proud of myself because I was single, except for obviously meeting my husband, but I was single at the time.
You didn't date any of those hot men.
No, I could have had the best time in the world, but I had so much work to do.
You
so boring. This is what I'm learning about myself.
No, you've dated some really hot guys. I think.
That's true.
Yeah. What, you mentioned your mom a lot, and it seems like she was always a fixture in your work life.
She was, yeah.
So what is it like now that you're working on 911, and this is the first time you're in your career without your mom? What is it like?
Yeah. It's absolutely terrible. It was, I think, my hardest moment in trying to decide to take 911, and I think if I'm being really honest, like therapy honest, the reason that I took a break is I really didn't know how to do it without her. I kind of thought of my mom and I as like one of those like 1950s comedy duos, you know, who like travel and they do their show and they've got their bits and they do their thing and then they go home and they go to sleep. And that's who my mom and I were. Like, I never felt forced to do the business by my mom. It wasn't like that Hollywood story, but I did feel how much she loved it and how helpful she was. My mom was a businesswoman, and so she was very savvy in a way that I couldn't be at that age, you know, in those ages. And so she really took care of that part of it. And then I got to just kind of be creative and fun. But we were a team. I mean, there was not one part of it that ever felt like my success. It was our success, and it was that kind of thing. And so when I lost her, I really, really was like probably 99% sure before Ryan Murphy called that I was not going to continue the business.
You were going to be done.
Yeah. I just wanted to be done because I didn't know how to do it without her, and it wasn't fun. And my mom and I made a promise when I moved to LA that the second it didn't feel fun, I wouldn't do it anymore. And I really thought about that. And I had a friend, her name is Carol, and she came over to the house and she was like, I know that you don't want to do it anymore. She's like, but don't do it because it's your job and because it's, you know, whatever. She was like, do it for all the people that have invested in you. Right. And I really thought about that. And I was like, yeah, there are a lot of strangers out there that like have invested in me for 30 years. And the least I can do is go back to work on 911 and see. And if I get there and I really am done, then I'll be done after 911.
Yeah. You'll know.
Yeah. And thank God I did it. And now I'm learning how to do it my own way without my mom, but with her watching over me. I really do feel like feel like she watches over me, and I feel like she taught me so much. And so it's a new way to be in the business, but it's still great. And I do still love what I do, and I hope to do it for a while longer. And I'm glad that I came back to it, but it was very challenging. And I think had they not called, I probably, like, if I had gone another 6 months without working, I just would have never done it again. Yeah.
I hope this isn't too personal, and feel free to ignore, but I had a friend who recently lost a parent, and I wonder, what advice do you have for someone who just lost someone close to them?
I mean, I think self-compassion is really all you can have in that moment. And I would just say, be true. I mean, that was the thing, like for an actor, you know, we're supposed to tell the truth, but we're really not telling the truth because it's not our stories. Right. So you're essentially like not telling the truth, but you're being truthful your whole life. And so that's kind of what I did. And I really don't know that I had ever told myself the truth until after I lost my mom. And I went, wow, let's really tell ourselves the truth, you know, about a lot of things, like things that I liked about myself, things that I didn't, places where maybe I was damaged and I didn't really pay attention to it, things that I had missed out on, things that I wanted more of, you know, all of that stuff. And so I think that in losing someone, even though it feels like a giant part of you is gone, I feel like if you give yourself compassion and you're really still in all of the moments afterwards, and I'm still in them. I mean, I'm coming up on the 7 year mark of my mom's passing, and I start getting sick to my stomach like today, and it doesn't go away until like a month after, you know what I mean? And it just kind of happens. But I think you can learn a lot of truth, and you can take from the person that you've lost all the really good things, and in strength, let the bad things go. And it can be a beautiful transformation after that. It just feels really icky. And I give a lot of compassion to your friend.
I'm going to do a hard left.
Yeah. So, do it. Yeah.
We got serious.
Get
for
us
a second.
Out of it.
Hard left. Do you remember a woman named Laura Lee? She was on a your show called The Client List.
Yes.
And she was from a show called Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
Do you watch any of those Housewives Vanderpump things?
I had only watched the Vanderpump thing for like a few episodes. Yes. So
did you ever see Laura Lee on it? What was she like to work with? Tell me everything about Laura Lee.
I did not. God, I love that you just got me out of that last conversation trying to like give your friend advice on death.
The only shift we could do.
Tell me about Vanderpump.
It's my life in a nutshell.
So I did not, I really appreciate that about you. I did not know that she was on the Vanderpump thing when she was on the client list. So then I heard people excited about this show that she was on. So then I went and like watched a few episodes and I saw her on there and I didn't get it, to be totally honest with you.
I'll give you episodes to go back to.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I appreciate that. But she was lovely. She did a really good job on the show. And that's all I really know.
Did she ever mention a man named Jax?
No, she did not. But I now know who Jax and Tom are and Stassi.
We don't like Jax, but we like Tom Sandoval.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I just met Kenya Moore though.
Oh my God. How was it?
She was amazing. Yeah. I have to say, is she known to be like kind of cuckoo?
Crazy. Yeah. But,
okay.
But also she was lovely. I like her a lot.
She was lovely. And speaking about what we were just talking about, she's in a real transformation place since having her daughter and having like this crazy birth and like going through so much to like have her daughter, Brooklyn, who's the cutest little thing ever, that I think she's kind of where I was. I think she's like kind of ready to like really question whether or not she's going to continue or not. And we had a little bit of a deep conversation about that. I met her. We both did Access Hollywood Live together. It was hysterical for Mother's Day. And she was there. And all I know of her is like people talk about crazies.
Yeah.
And that's all I know. But I didn't watch. So I didn't know like any of the specifics. But she was
lovely.
I mean, the kindest.
So it was at Access Hollywood. She's not joining 911 or anything. Like,
where is she? No. She was there, I think, talking about the birth of her daughter. And I think she has a hairline or something like that, I want to say. So she was there promoting that. I was promoting. And they, like, put us in this little green room area together to wait for, like, 20 minutes. And we fully, like, broke down life. And she was lovely. But I remember clocking it because I knew I was coming to see you. And I was like, he'll be excited.
Oh, my God. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
Twirl. I think she's going back to the Housewives.
But is she going to?
Because she was saying
that she is like feels like she's might be done.
Oh, my God. We're getting the scoop here.
Maybe she just meant done for the moment or done with the drama.
No, I think she's going to come back. Did you try to convince her to come back? Were you like, yeah, go back? If she comes back, we'll know it's because of you.
I was like, don't do it. So maybe that'll be my fault now. But now all these people hate me. I was like, don't go be a mom. Enjoy your life.
How dare you? That's a wrap on Jennifer.
I am sorry and forget it.
Will you write another book? Are you going to write another book?
I've thought about it. Yeah, I have. I have like half of another one written, and it's like in my closet.
Bring it out.
Okay.
You wrote The Day I Shot Cupid.
Yes.
And in that book, I don't know if it was the press of that book or what happened, but you coined the term vajazzling.
Yeah.
That's like all because of you.
Yeah.
Way to go.
You're welcome.
What was I going to say?
Have you ever pajazzled?
I've never pajazzled, but I'm open to it.
You should pajazzle. You know what? Do it.
I'm open to it.
Do it.
Are you going to do Dancing with the Stars? I just heard last week.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed with this.
You're going to do it, right?
I'm not going to do it because I can't. I'm going to be on 911 and I have two children.
Fox won't let you.
But I really, really want to.
I think it'd be great.
That's all I can say. I mean, I want that Mirrorball trophy. Like,
I feel like you'd be so good at it. You know what else I want you to do, which I know you've done some TV movies before.
Yeah, The Masked Singer.
I would love that too.
Okay. What do you want me to do?
Well, first of all, we didn't even talk about your music. How do I deal? Like, I literally listened to How Do I Deal, like, on repeat. Like, I was obsessed as a kid.
I'm so sorry.
No, that song is good. That song is good. Bare Naked was amazing.
Meredith Brooks is Meredith the best.
Stop apologizing. Meredith Brooks produced that whole album. What was that like?
I basically like lived in her house with her while we did it. It was amazing. She's awesome.
Come on. She's a bitch. She's a lover. She's a child. She's a mother.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. A sinner and a saint.
Would you? She does not feel ashamed.
No, she does not.
Do you want to do more music?
Nope.
No, you're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you. What about like a musical movie or something?
Yes.
Like get you in Wicked in or like a movie.
Yes, Heartbeat. Musical. Yeah.
What more do you want to do? What else do you want to do?
Not a whole lot really. I'm pretty good.
Well, we got the Heartbreaker show. We got the Can't Hardly Wait
sequel. I
want to
do that. I really want to do more directing. I really want to do some more producing. I love being on 9-1-1, and I just want to like be able to make all of my kids like school shows and throw awesome birthday parties for them. And I would love to have a lifestyle brand.
Yeah, you
should. That's what I would like to do. The wine, everybody has one. Yeah. And I don't have one, and I haven't been invited. It's like the reboots of things. They don't invite me to anything.
Just do it. We'll start it here.
Yeah.
Love. You could, I don't know, name it love. I'll spitball it. I want to throw out some names and people you worked with. Just give me your first thoughts of these people.
Oh, boy. Okay.
You can go as long as you want, whatever you want to say. Loretta Devine from Client List.
Heaven.
Come on.
Heaven.
Come on.
Diva. Heaven.
Diva, Heva. Enrique Iglesias. You did the Hero video.
I mean,
did you ever date him?
I missed the mole.
Did you date him? Maybe. You dated some like really hot men. Like as I was doing my research, I was like, good job, girl. You dated Patrick Wilson.
Yeah.
Come on. Which one of your exes was the worst? Who was the best and who was the worst? Was Patrick Wilson nice?
Honestly.
He seems nice.
Like one of the most wonderful people on the planet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
What about, who else?
Wait, was I supposed to say something about those people?
No. Well, you said Enrique Iglesias.
Oh, yeah.
Lauren Ambrose.
Great.
Matthew Fox. He's got a reputation for being kind of an asshole.
He does. He was not to me. I found him very, very sexy as an older man at the time.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's still gorgeous, but yeah. Freddie Prinze Jr. We talked about him a little bit.
Dreamboat.
Rosie O'Donnell.
I loved her. We had the best time when I was on her shows.
Angela Bassett.
I mean, goddess.
Fergie. Kids Incorporated. Come on, again, Jennifer Love Hewitt. All of these things.
Again, goddess.
Goddess. Yeah. Ryan Murphy.
And still is. Ryan Murphy is just a genius.
Yeah, he's so smart. Yeah. Betty White. You're close with Betty White?
My best friend.
I have Betty White coasters over there somewhere.
I love her so much.
Have you talked to her recently?
Yeah. I check in with her like twice a month just to make sure that she's doing okay and see how she's doing.
How is she doing?
She's amazing. The drunkest I've ever been was with Betty White. I almost lost her in the bushes.
Her in the bushes? She fell in the bush?
She almost fell in the bush. I caught her.
Oh my God.
It was fine. We almost both went in the bush. She gave me like a lot of vodka and pizza.
Oh my God.
And then she invited me up to her room at the end of the night. And I was like, Betty, okay. Well, everybody has their first time. But she invited me up for gummy bears.
So you just went up back to her room and she had candy just like waiting.
Yes. I mean, don't you just want Betty White to give you gummy? I think my puppy is like living on your couch.
No, it's good.
I'm so sorry.
You're not getting the puppy back.
Okay.
Speaking of reboots, I think they need a Golden Girls reboot. I think somebody needs to spearhead that. It's like, come on already.
Yes.
Meredith Brooks. She
In
was
a
great.
Few years,
you lived
I'll
with
be
her.
Able to be on that.
You said you'll be on it. No.
Yeah. Meredith Brooks. I mean, again, like she was just like an earth mama. Like she was just solid, wonderful, supportive, and so talented.
John Mayer. That song, it's rumored that Your Body is a Wonderland's about you, but is that true or not? Because in my research, I heard you saying that it's not. Or what is it?
I don't
true?
Think that it is. There were songs of his that I think had that maybe I had influence in, but I don't. I've looked a lot and I don't think that My Body is a Wonderland.
No, it is. but wait. I feel
it's
like
more
I
like
remember
the Operation game. God, it's such a horrible thing to say. No.
Jennifer Love Hewitt, come on. Wait, I remember, I feel like maybe I'm making this up, but I used to be a John Mayer head back in the day.
Yeah.
And I feel like wasn't Comfortable about you, or am I making that up?
No, a Comfortable was way before me.
That was before you.
Yeah.
So what songs do you think were influenced by
I feel like Daughters might have been a little bit influenced because we were dating-ish at the time. I could be wrong about that, but I feel like he played that for me and then we're like, things about, you know, me and my dad and stuff like that in there. And,
oh, interesting.
Yeah. So I feel like maybe that, but, here's what I'll say about John Mayer. He was,
good in bed. I feel like he was good in bed.
Oh my God. oh my God. He was, it was crazy to be around him and absorb his
sexuality,
talent.
Yes, talent.
Like he's just one of the most talented people I've ever met. And so I was really happy to like have him in my life. And I was in his life at a really extraordinary time because it was sort of as he was blowing up and becoming, you know, huge. So it was just amazing to like be able to watch that happen for him and everything. I always think fondly of him.
What about Carson Daly? You guys dated when you were young.
We did. Carson was also a great guy.
Not really. Yeah, he wasn't really.
No, he was. He was. We went through some things, but he was a great guy.
Did he cheat? Yeah. I'm guessing he
no.
did. I feel like he did. No. I remember that. Who doesn't remember the Eminem song? He left. Christina left him for Fred Durst or something. I don't quite remember.
Yeah, that. I don't know what happened there, but I think we were emotional and young, and there was you know some drama, but he was a good guy.
Yeah. What about the guy from LFO? You were in the Girl on TV
Rich.
Video.
I know. One of the sweetest people I've ever met. Just God bless. That both of them now, Devin too, is so sad.
What kind of music do you listen to?
I listen to everything. I listen to country. I listen a lot to hip hop. I'm obsessed right now with asking Siri to play classic French, and it's really just American songs done in French.
It's gonna play it. There's amazing. Series all around this house.
It's amazing.
What about Will Friedle? Here I am. Keep going to your exes.
Oh, my God. Will is the best. Will
Boy
is
Meets
the best.
World.
He gets the best boyfriend I've ever had.
Really?
Award. Yes.
Oh, that
Besides
makes me
my
so
husband,
happy.
Obviously. Sure. But Will was
oh my
the
God,
best
so
boyfriend
happy.
Ever in the world. My best friend.
He seems like a nice guy.
Will always be like my favorite memory.
An iconic episode of Boy Meets World. You were in the Halloween episode.
I know, but why was I called Jennifer Love Pfefferman? No one has ever explained that to me. I don't know where that came from. I don't know why.
We need to go edit it out. There was also an episode of Boy Meets World where Candace Cameron Bure played a witch.
Yeah.
Which is another thing. That's a tale for another time, but it was confusing.
Yep.
Let's take a quick break here, and then we'll come back with some final moments with Jennifer Love Hewitt, queen, icon, legend. And before we go to break, just I want to say, please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino, Twitter and Instagram. If you want to support this podcast, go to patreon.com/everythingiconic. Click become a patron. If you donate $4 or more per month, you get the bonus episodes. More importantly, you just help support this podcast. And if you want any of the t-shirts, the merch, just go to everythingiconic.threadless.com. You can buy all that stuff there. So let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with some final moments. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes a savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/iconic. Do you have a favorite Mariah Carey song? I ask everyone this.
All I Want Is You. No.
All I Want for Christmas?
All I Want for Christmas. Yeah, that's
classic.
It is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if you were choosing for People Magazine Sexiest Man Alive, who would you choose? Can't choose your husband, though, who's very sexy, too. But
thank you for that. Whoa.
Like, who do you find really sexy? Like, Idris Elba or Chris Hemsworth or, like, you know, one of these people.
Liev Schreiber.
Oh, really? That's an interesting choice.
Do you watch Ray
Donovan? I like that. Just no, but I saw in my research that you like Ray Donovan. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't watch it, but he's sexy.
Oh.
Yeah. He's with Naomi. Is he with Naomi Watts?
No, they're divorced, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
Heard it here first. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Jennifer Love Hewitt, I'll let you go. I've kept you here for so long.
I've enjoyed myself.
This wine, again, where can people find it? Can they go to your website or they'll find you on social media?
So I'm going to start an Instagram for it this week.
JLH.
So watch out. And it is at the Wine House. And you can either get it online and they can ship all over the United States, or you can go in store. It's at the Honor Wine and Spirits in Beverly Hills.
Can I have you sign this?
Yeah.
Like, truly.
Will you really drink it? Do you promise?
I'm not even kidding. I will drink. I want you to sign this bottle, but I will drink it.
I went down the road and got super serious with you.
No,
I have to drink the wine.
But wait, I'm saying I truly cannot think of anything better than grabbing a group of friends on like a Friday, Saturday night and watching one of your movies, watching Can't Hardly Wait, watching I Know What You Did Last Summer, Heartbreakers, watching one of these films.
Yeah.
The Client List film.
Yeah.
Do you like the movie or the TV better of The Client
List? I like the TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you learn about sex workers? Here I was wrapping it up, but I did want to ask that. What did you learn about sex work doing that? Because I feel like more and more, and I had heard you say this in an interview, sex work is happening more and more and people are doing it to support their families.
It is. And most the phone sex stuff is like, it's a really big thing with like in the mom market.
Really?
It's kind of, well, because it's a job that you can do where you can support your family, but you can also just, you know, like drop the kids off and be like, hey, John, what you wearing? You know, you can kind of do that stuff. But I really learned I think that I had a lot of judgment that I didn't know about in sort of just like the porn world, you know, sex worker world, like whatever it was that kind of, as we were doing the show, I was like, oh, like I kind of get it. Like I not necessarily giving blowjobs for a living to like support your kids. In Texas.
I do that for free.
Like, hello, is this thing on? Yes, but I did kind of go, oh, I get like why, how this would be an easy thing to add to your life and give you a job. And like, you know, mostly I learned, you know, that moms out there will just literally do anything
for their kids,
yeah. Take care of their kids.
This was truly a dream come true. You came over with a puppy and I can't thank you enough. Thank you so much, Jennifer Love Hewitt. I love you.
This has been a long time in the making.
I know. I've been wanting. I know.
I know. And I'm sorry it took so long.
Thank you, Shauna, for making this happen. Yeah. And Maria.
Shout out to Shauna and Maria.
We love you. Thank you so much.
Bye.
This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.